Hey, my name is Drew.
And I'm Cody.
And I'm Malachi.
And this is Command Cinema. This is our new podcast that is about
the worst media you can possibly think of. Because it's so pretentious.
What movies. What do I hang up here? Let's automatically offend all movie lovers who hit me up.
I didn't hear any of them.
Neither did I. I don't feel like you can really be a movie lover without being just a hair pretentious, but that's just my thought.
An artist in general.
Absolutely. So today on Command Cinema, we're going to be covering one of the latest and greatest movies that's out right now. How exciting. The Lighthouse.
Directed by?
What's his name? I can't even... Robert. Oh, it's like Robert Eggers, isn't it?
Robert Eggers. My boy. Yeah. Director of The Witch.
Yes.
Great movie.
Mm.
Y'all seen that?
I haven't. No.
I have not. Is it worth watching?
So I liked it a lot better the second time I saw it. I really didn't like it the first time. It's very slow. Maybe slower than The Lighthouse.
That's saying a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy. It's a good movie though. I really liked it.
Sorry.
Okay. What's your side note?
I was watching an interview with Pattinson, and he was talking about how he saw The Witch, and that's what convinced him to do the role for Lighthouse.
Okay.
As far as what I read, that's also what happened with Willem Dafoe. He watched The Witch, and he was like really interested in being a part of whatever Robert Eggers would create next. And apparently they like reached out to him like a while back, waiting for everything to come together for this movie to be made, which I think is really interesting.
Isn't that amazing how one body of work can convince or just convey some kind of feeling, even for someone of that stature?
I mean, I do love Willem Dafoe, and apparently a lot of other people do, too.
I can forgive him for Aquaman.
He was in Aquaman?
Oh, let's not talk about it. So right from the get-go in the movie, it's a wild ride. I mean, it starts off slow, and it continues to stay slow. But
it picks up. I mean, the picking up doesn't happen until, like, the end. And, like, you know, we're not going to get into spoilers until, you know, we'll give a warning. We don't have, like, time codes on here. So we'll just give a heads up before we start talking about anything super spoilery. But, yeah, it picks up probably the last 40 minutes.
Yeah
probably something like that.
It's not necessarily the point where he breaks, but... In a sense, it's a slow build-up, but it does gradually get larger and larger as far as in his head.
Yeah.
But that is to be discussed in a minute.
It gets larger and then at the same time, way more claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Lighthouse, it's got Pattinson and Dafoe, as stated earlier, directed by Robert Eggers, came out last year. Got nominated for an Oscar today, topical, for cinematography. Yay or nay? What do y'all think? Cinematography.
I'm there for cinematography.
I think it absolutely does. Like, I think the competition, Joker, Irishman, a couple other ones. But I think Lighthouse definitely deserves it. Like, I'm not going to say I've never seen a movie that looks like The Lighthouse, but, like nothing looks like The Lighthouse. It's
yeah, for sure. But it's such an homage to film noir in the sense that it's not copying it, but it feels like something we've seen before, but such in a new way that's undescribable. It's eerie how well it did it with not feeling like it's mimicking a period of film. Does that make sense? It was like its own.
Okay. Can I put you on the spot about the film noir thing?
Uh-huh.
Because I don't quite get the comparisons. You mean just like because it's black and white?
Well, no. Film noir basically means, you know, they have particular characteristics. Like, for instance, heavy smoke, heavy fog, you know, cigarette smoking, you know, dark lighting, you know, atmospheric scenery. So that's what basically capture. And it's in a period of cinema within the 30s and 20s, you know, for that part. But as far as, like, the eeriness of film noir, you know, like films like The Third Man with...
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, thank you. And then films like that. So it is, it captures, you know, even from the very beginning when it shows them both being dropped off in the beginning in the heavy fog and distance and stuff like that. So that's what I mean when it pays an homage to film noir, in a sense.
Definitely big notices on the fog and the smoke. That was like the one thing that I noticed most often. There's always like a silhouette of him when he's smoking a cigarette, or Defoe's character when he smokes his pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the thing that sets it apart, it does look nice. It's a good-looking movie. You know, it isn't black and white, of course. But, like, I know we talked about it the last time. We talked about the movie for a second. But, like, the aspect ratio, it's shot in... Talk amongst yourself for a second. I'm going to look this up real quick.
35mm?
I mean, it is a 35mm film, but the crop, the aspect ratio is, like, is it 1.19 by 1?
Yes.
Which right. I think is just, I think it's a hair taller than your normal, like, 1:1.
It makes the movie, like, extremely claustrophobic.
More than it already is, so. Even the frame is meant to be claustrophobic, even the shots with them so close together in this lighthouse. That's what works so well, I mean, with the duo there. I mean, and of course, I'm sure it was very intentional from the very beginning. You know, you can feel the claustrophobia between Pattinson's character and Defoe.
And yeah, they're the only two real characters in the movie, save for one very short bit about like the mermaid that was very like eerie.
Right. Right.
But, so yeah, it's Defoe and Pattinson like carry the thing. Yeah.
And we also mentioned how, not getting into any spoilers, because this is just an observation, really, about how the lighthouse became a character of sorts. It's not like, in a way, like the Overlook, how we said the other day, is a character in The Shining. It's almost like it's a presence anywhere they go.
Yeah. It's always there. It's usually like in the frame when they're outside. Mm-hmm. You know?
And
Defoe has like a weird relationship with the lighthouse.
Yeah. It's like a sexual partner of some sort.
He did say in one of the quotes in the movie, he was like, he's like, she's far more lovely and far more quiet than any other woman in the world, or something along that nature.
Right. So, anyways, back to spoilers. So, if you haven't seen the movie, I wouldn't recommend listening past this, but if you have, please continue, because this is, you can't talk about this movie and not talk about spoilers, because it is so much, and the characters and I think you can argue or you can disagree with me, but I think this is Pattinson's movie as far as his character.
You mean to tell me Twilight wasn't his movie?
No.
Listening in the Sunshine?
I'm saying his character, he is the main character. He is the protagonist here. William Dafoe is a secondary character. And then why I say that, I mean, it's obvious, I feel, is because, I mean, we're introduced to both of them in the very beginning, but, of course, how the film proceeds, we see only his perspective when he goes out and, you know, goes toss a shit or whatever have you, and even when he makes love to the mermaid, which is very, very disturbing, and then even the scene where he masturbates, and even the very ending where the light, you know, so these are all heavy. There's a lot of sexual tension in this movie.
I don't know. I know I read an interview before the movie came out with Robert Eggers where it was like, in the script, the lighthouse is supposed to be like symbolic of a penis.
What? I don't know why I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. I think the movie is just filled with sexual tension just because, not between like Defoe and Pattinson, but like...
Are you sure? Are you sure there was that one scene where they're drunk?
There was, okay. Yeah, yeah. There was the one bit.
And they start laughing off, but you know... I mean,
yeah, like Pattinson like pushes Defoe off of him though.
Right. But there was that both moment where they both thought about it for a second. I mean, for goodness sakes, he masturbates to a little statue.
A little wax mermaid.
Right. And then he gets mad at the end, like it's her fault or the statue's fault.
Okay. Well, so you think this is Pattinson's movie?
For sure. It's okay. The character, and only because you feel like Defoe is is part of his conscience, in a sense, you know? Is he really there? Is he a real person, you know? he's only important when Pattinson's character makes it important. Does that make sense? Like is he running away from something? You know, he talks about his job with lumber or whatever have you. What was he, like a logger or some sorts?
Mm-hmm. He worked with like a logger company in Canada.
And they thought this was like his escape of some sort. And then, you know, so he's running from something, and maybe Defoe's character represents something he's running from, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't know, but why would they, you know, I don't know much about lighthouses, but I don't think they would see one person at a lighthouse at the same time, you know, would that be uncommon in 1890 when the film takes place?
I'm going to counter your argument here. I think it's Defoe's movie.
Okay, and your reason being?
I think The Lighthouse could be like a watchable film if it was just Defoe's character. Because he has just so much going on, and he's such like an enigmatic, like weird character.
Yeah.
And it feels like everything that Pattinson does is just a reaction to what Defoe's doing. Mm. Whether it be like terrible cooking or like the dancing and all the songs and, you know,
constantly forcing him to drink.
Mm.
Always forcing him to drink. Like, I feel like Defoe is what keeps the movie pushing forward. And yeah, I think that this is Defoe's movie, for sure.
No, as far as like you're saying he steals the show with his performance, or are you saying that he's saying, okay. So what I'm saying is
I think his
performance is better. I'm just saying, you know, that he is the protagonist and William Defoe is the antagonist as far as the film.
Like, I wouldn't even say he's the antagonist. He just kind of like is there. Mm. I don't think he's necessarily a bad guy.
No, I think it's a compilation of things as far as like with, you know, cabin fever, like we talked, and then, you know, just not, you know, running away from his past, you know, all these variation of things.
Yeah, definitely. Malachi, you want to weigh in on whose movie it is?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's Robert Pattinson's movie, primarily because there's so many scenes in the movie where it's just him interacting with things around the lighthouse. There's the whole scene with, like, the bird, the seagull, in multiple scenes. It's just him and the bird interacting with each other. There's, like, I feel like there's any time a scene where it doesn't have either of the main characters, the moment it goes back to focus on a character, it's always Robert Pattinson's character and never Willem Dafoe's. You only ever see Willem Dafoe's character when he's interacting with Robert, which I feel like it only goes along with kind of how there's a scene in the movie where you pretty much get the idea that Willem Dafoe's character is trying to gaslight Pattinson into believing that one thing happened when if you watch the movie, you clearly see that it doesn't happen that way. So I just feel like it's kind of like the whole movie is like going on, it's like playing out inside of Robert Pattinson's head, because you see everything from his point of view pretty much.
Okay.
The way I would compare it, I guess, to, in a sense, like when you think of The Shining, you think of Jack Nicholson's performance, you think about, and I hate to compare oranges to apples here, but there's a lot of comparisons, so we'll get deeper into that. But as far as like when you think of The Shining, think of Jack Nicholson and then how he stole the show. But in a sense, you could argue that the movie is really about Danny, you know, it pertains about him. Right at the hotel, and then how it affects him, and then even at the very end, you know, when Danny's alone, and then he had the mirror scene with his mother, yada yada yada. I just feel like, sure, William Dafoe stole the show, but I feel it's Pattinson's movie is as far as like the character and who the movie was wrapped around. And it's
overall, you know, like, what did y'all think of the movie, like, directly after watching it? Like, how did y'all feel about it?
I'll give it a go. So, after I watched the movie, I watched it around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So, very sleepily, I was taking notes while watching the movie. And immediately after, like, upon watching the last scene, my brain just kind of, like, sat there. And I was like, huh, what a strange movie. Like, there was a lot to mentally chew on. Like, there was, like, so much stuff going on in, like, the last, like, 15, 20 or so minutes of the movie. Because it ramps up around, like, the last 40 minutes. Then it kicks it into high gear, like, the last 20. Yeah, where it's just goes absolutely berserk. And then it, after all of that happens, the movie just kind of gives this quiet, I wouldn't say peaceful, but it's definitely quiet. There's not a whole lot going on. One, like, slow pull out from Pattinson's character. And it's just, it was like a really strange movie. Upon giving it a review after I first saw it, I would give it, I'd say it was like 3.5, 4 skins out of 5 for sure. Or jisms. I mean, the terminology of the movie.
And the viewers, though, yeah, that's a reference for the movie. He's not weird or anything.
I also gave it 3.5. When it was over, I didn't quite know how to feel. I think I went in with the wrong expectations. You know, I wasn't expecting it to be, like, anything too crazy. But, like, the film is just very quiet, and there's not a lot happening until, like, the end. There's a lot of, like I said, like, build-up. There's a lot of tension between the two characters. Once it breaks, which is pretty deep into the film, it really kind of clicks with you. But, like, up until then, it kind of didn't keep my attention. It's kind of an unwieldy movie. It's just weird. Like,
it's definitely an acquired taste, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes, an acquired taste. It should be my type of movie too. Like, it just didn't click for me like I wanted it to on first watch. So yeah, I say 3.5. I'm thinking about it more, you know, because we're doing the podcast about it and because we were supposed to talk about it. But like, and I just keep thinking about like the ending and the setting, and like, it's definitely hung around in my head for the several days it's been since I've watched it. But I'm excited to check it out again soon. I think I'll like it more now that I know what I'm getting into. But yeah, as of right now, I do enjoy it. I don't think I'd recommend it to everybody. But I say 3.5. Cody, what do you think?
As far as my overall review, my initial watch, I watched it in the morning, and I, ironically enough, I was woken up by sirens from tornado. Sirens in my town, which is ironic because when after watching the film, it was eerie to feel that, you know, I felt towards the sirens that were as far as when you approach the island. But as far as generally in the movie, my second viewing, I watched it yesterday again to get a better understanding. I did not enjoy it the second time as much as I did the first time. And now imagine, I did not see the film in theaters. I really wanted to. And only I hadn't seen any of the reviews. I hadn't seen any of the trailers. I just saw the cast, and then it's hard to explain, especially after the second viewing. But I'm like you. I built it up to be something so much greater than it was, and that's my own fault. You know, that's my preconceived idea of the film. But as a viewer, I think you try. You want so badly to understand what's going on. Why, you know, even the scenes with the octopus and then the dialogue, you don't want to rule it off either as a pretentious film either, because I feel like there is an underlying feeling there with the director and the writer, but I can't convince myself that this is a good story.
Yeah.
Without knowing more. And that's a fault of my own, I guess. It's a safe way of saying it. But I did love the visuals, and that's the only thing that kept me going, I think, with the film. For sure. And the not knowing what was going to happen next. And that's the beautiful thing about it, too, is like, I didn't know what was next. I was curious to know. It was so weird. It's almost like a train wreck, as they say, you know, you can't help it.
Okay.
First viewing, I would give it, I gave it a 4. I think I gave it a 4, the first viewing, out of 5. And then this next viewing, I'm going to say 3. Just take it down. The only reason taking it down a star is because the initial shock, you know, the scene of the hatchet or the axe, and then the scene with Pattinson and the lot, that was just breathtaking. I mean, I love that. And I think that's what the overall shock, I guess you would say the hype of it all got me excited about the movie, and that's why I rated it a 4. But now, after seeing it twice, It's like almost riding a roller coaster twice. I mean, you got the initial shock and initial feeling of it, and then after, it was like, okay, I get it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. So three is solid stars.
Yeah. I do think hype played into a lot of why I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to, because I was supposed to go see it in theaters when it was originally released, and then I'd been waiting for months to see it, and then, you know, we watched it, and it, you know, I don't regret watching it or anything. I really enjoyed the movie. Yep. It's definitely like a unique experience. I was gonna watch it again before we started recording, but I just didn't have time. I couldn't bring myself to do it. It's kind of a taxing watch. It's not even 2 hours, but it just weighs on you. But
I think you said it. I think what you're saying about it's a movie to experience. It's one of those films kind of like in the same breath as like any Stanley Kubrick film where you never really get the answers that you expect. But like once the movie ends, you're like, wow. And it's like, well, I guess I kind of felt like I needed to watch that, even if I don't necessarily know exactly what I watched or what I gained from it. But it's just kind of one of those pieces of cinema that's just important to have, because you can always... Because inevitably, one movie will copy one small detail from another. So I feel like there'll probably be a couple of movies in the future, maybe not this year or next, but I'm sure there'll be some really small pieces that you can kind of point to. Like, hey, I remember when The Lighthouse did that in a very similar manner. So, yeah, I think it's definitely like an experience movie for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do hope movies down the road are influenced by this, because I do think it has a really unique style that could, you know, translate well to maybe other genres. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see it. I'd watch it. A24, Stan. I'll watch anything they do.
Oh, God.
To make reference to Kubrick, even like, okay, for instance, say we were alive when Clockwork Orange was released. I mean, initially, if I saw that in the time and place, I'd probably be like, what the hell is this? You know, I would have been so thrown off. Like, what did I just watch? You know, I'm watching a guy with a penis for a nose, you know, with a mask. And go around, you know, and go around and, you know, these hoodlums, basically. And then now seeing it a few years ago, it's like, okay, am I appreciating it? Because, you know, it's aged and it's different and I appreciate Kubrick and I'm living off that. Or is it because it's a good movie? You know what I'm saying? So... I don't know if this film will age well because of the cinematography, but and the cast as well.
I hate to sidebar here, but I'm just really curious about your opinion on one of the movies that I've seen of Kubrick's that I still can't figure out if I like it.
Okay.
And it's 2001: A Space Odyssey, because it's kind of got that same ambiguous ending that I don't think I'm a fan of in movies. I don't really know why I like having a finite end. But for whatever reason, anytime I watch a movie where it's like even anything that's left up to interpretation by the viewer, I'm just never a fan of it.
Right, because you need closure as far as a film. I get it.
I think so.
No. And that's the general movie going experience, I think. You go to a film, you see the character, you see the build up, and then you have some kind of resolution at the end. And so to have that experience at the end and not be like that, it's kind of frustrating sometimes. And definitely with the first viewing of 2001.
So do y'all like 2001? Like, yes. Legitimately?
Yes, legitimately. And not with any pretentious thoughts. But there is that experience, the same with, okay, you could argue, there are some similarities with 2001 and then The Lighthouse, for instance, with Hal and, I can't think of the main character's name, but you have to forgive me there. But there, you know, how he portrays the character and how Hal eventually runs the ship and kills his partner, and then a sense with it's actually the foe's character real, and then he's, you know, not necessarily sabotaging, but he destroyed the boat of sorts. So Pattinson was trying to escape, and so was the main character in 2001. So there is that kind of parallel there.
Y'all know 2001 is rated G.
Really?
Yes.
Even if it has murder in it as well.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I guess if we're going to start talking about 2001, I don't like that movie. I've fallen asleep both times I've tried to watch it, and I get, like, immediately past the part, like, with the apes when they find the big pillar thing that drops down, and then when the dude is on the spaceship, and he, like, talks to his daughter, like, I immediately just check out. Like, I...
Side note, that's Stanley Kubrick's daughter. Sorry.
For real? I didn't know
that. Yeah, that's crazy, right? Yeah.
Hey, I need to try that movie again. Like, it's just, like...
No, it feels like a documentary. I understand. I totally get it. I mean, there are some scenes, like, when they're just, like, isolated and they're, like, going through the cabin and they're just walking around the spaceship and, you know, having dinner or lunch. It's small dialogue. Yeah. It's a stretch. But as far as... It is a stretch. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I love the film just in general.
Yeah, I mean, I need to try it out. Like, I do like slow and long movies, but that one just isn't. It just does not do it for me.
It's a watch for sure. Because like I think I've seen it maybe twice, and each time I've seen it, I always give it like 2.5 stars. I was like, I respect it. Ooh. I get it. Like, I see why people like it. Because like, I know there are a lot of people that just really love Kubrick's films. No, but there's just something about the movie about it that I just can't wrap my head around. Like, it's very odd in its pacing. The fact that there's, like, no narrator, which, I mean, that's kind of like a whatever kind of thing. But the movie doesn't have, like, any speaking until, like, you see a character talking directly to someone else. So there's, like, nothing to carry it from scene to scene. There's, like, really heavy, like, brooding music that transfers it from one scene to another. And I feel like that kind of... It kind of makes it, I don't know, it kind of makes it hard to watch. Like, it makes it sleepy. Like, I could very well see, like, right after the ape scene, which seems like it goes on for far too long.
Yeah.
And then you see all the people that are, like, landing on whatever planet or moon that they go to, and, like, they go down into the tunnel. And, like, I genuinely don't remember much about the movie after that scene, except for the ending with the Star Child and the huge, like, black, what is it, what's the word I'm looking for, monolith, and it just kind of sitting in the room, and I for whatever reason, I just can't get a hold of that movie to give it, like, a good recommendation or a good rating. Maybe if we're, like, sitting on the podcast longer, where I feel like I have, like, a more, like, keen, like, idea of, like, what movies are and see the importance in them, I feel like I might be able to give it a better review. But for right now, for sure not. 2.5 stars all day.
Y'all do me a favor. Research The Star Child and then go back and watch it. Because I understand, like, you understand, you see the man, and then all of a sudden time extremely goes by fast, and then he's also, and then he turns into a star child. But it's just this journey through the whole thing. And it's very slow. But I think what makes the movie for me is his the relationship with Hal and how he's betrayed by the interface.
I'm sorry, Dave, but yeah, I just can't do that.
Dave, you know, get it? Hal, the acronym is H-A-L, which is the opposite, or the next letter is for IBM, and they couldn't use IBM, of course, so they just used Hal.
I can tell you were a big fan, because he's a big fan of this movie, obviously.
No, I'm a fan of Kubrick in general, not in a pretentious way. Again, why are most things hyped? Is because there's some good to the core something about it, I guess, and everything. And I'm not saying every Kubrick film is good. I didn't really care for Eyes Wide Shut.
What's the other movie?
I think that was a film for Kubrick for himself to make, and in a sense, that's all directors do. They make films for themselves, but I think that film was so personal for what he was feeling, whatever that. I mean, if you like it, you like it for some other reason. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to like it. It really is. I love Tom Cruise. I love Nicole Kidman. But to go back on 2001 and The Lighthouse, there are parallels there as far as, and I can see now the way y'all feel about the 2001 is how y'all sort of feel about The Lighthouse, because it's just so visually stunning, but at the same time, it's so hard to follow or keep up with. You're one to keep up with. This desire, you know what I'm saying?
It's easy to follow. It's hard to stay invested.
For sure, for sure.
There's not a plot, but it's hard to watch. So we talked about The Lighthouse. We talked about 2001 for a minute. So for the next episode, I'm gonna put y'all on the spot. What's something y'all been wanting to see
that we have not seen?
That you have not seen or are open to rewatching?
So, I would say a couple of movies that I really want to watch that I've heard people say really good things about. I've never seen The Green Room, which I heard a lot of good things about. Okay. And let me see what else. I haven't ever seen Punch Drunk Love, but my boss was telling me how much he loved it, and I feel like it's really interesting. Or I feel like it'd be a good watch since Uncut Gems just came out. That way, I feel like we could draw parallels between those movies. Because I feel like they're both like pretty serious Adam Sandler roles.
I'm a big PTA fan, so I'm down to watch.
Same. Okay, so Malachi, you got Green Room and Punch Drunk Love, right?
Correct.
Cody, what do you got?
I'm going to say Do the Right Thing. I've never seen it. I've just been in my part of my list, just never seen it.
Okay. I really want to see Parasite, but it's not out yet, so we're not going to do that. Have y'all seen Nashville?
Nope.
I don't even know what that is.
Is that the documentary with, is it, didn't, what's his name? Who directed it?
Robert Altman.
Robert Altman, yes.
Yeah. It's not a documentary, but it's like a really long, well, it's not really long. It's like 2.5 hours. It's a lot of different characters. They have their own stories, and some of them kind of intersect. But I got a Criterion of it for Christmas, and I've been really wanting to check it out.
It's on Criterion?
On the Criterion channel. I got, like, a physical Criterion for it.
That's such a random gift if you've never seen it.
I really like Robert Altman. Like, I'm a big fan of his. So I just decided to go out on a limb, because I've heard that's, like, his best movie, and I still haven't seen it, so.
Okay, that's cool. I'm down.
It's like Nashville. I think that's my pick. So, Malachi, do you want to do Punch Drunk Love or Green Room?
I'll do Punch Drunk Love.
Good pick. Green Room's really good, too. You should definitely see that when you get a chance. It's, heavy. We'll never look at, what's his name? Patrick Stewart.
Fair enough.
That movie's insane. Okay, so we've got Punch Drunk Love, Do the Right Thing, and Nashville. Malachi, do you have the dice ready?
I do not. One moment. All right, I got a die. It's a 6-sided die, but don't rush to conclusions. We're gonna count. So we'll do one and two, my movie, 3 and 4, we'll do Drew's, and then 5 and 6 for Cody's. And it did not hit the table.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, it was 5. It's your movie.
If they're right. Have y'all seen that movie?
No.
Malachi, have you seen it?
I've never seen it, no. I have a hard time, like, going back and watching movies that are older than, like, the decade I was born. And it, like, just barely missed the cut.
I'm excited to check this out. I'm pretty new to Spike Lee. I think the only thing I've seen from him is Black Klansman.
I think that's the only movie of his I've seen as well, which is sad.
I know he's got, like, a ton of really great movies, but I think that was the one that picked up the most attention, and that's like the most recent one, so it was fine. But yeah, so we're gonna be watching Do the Right Thing for the next episode. All right, and we're back from our break. That probably took a little too long. Thank y'all for listening to the first episode of Command Cinema. We're really happy. We hope someone listened to this and got a kick out of it. I enjoyed talking to y'all.
For sure. Thank you, Ringleader Drew.
I appreciate the patience, honestly, because if I was watching and listening to this, I'd be like, oh, but, you know, we're going to get better as time goes on.
Yeah, for sure. We're learning. We're new to the whole podcasting thing, so they won't be as rambly or, you know, unorganized next time.
If we got any facts wrong about films that we're talking about, then just please send us a terrible tweet or...
We're going to be on social media, probably just at Command Cinema, if that's not taken.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We should probably check that, but, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, again, thank everyone who listened. I mean, yeah, thanks.
Also, should mention that these will be consistent every 2 weeks. Is that right? Is that what we're deciding on? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think every 2 weeks. I think that's the plan.
And then we can find it on all platforms, our major platforms like Spotify or Apple Music.
All right, guys. Well, I will see y'all in 2 weeks to talk about Do the Right Thing.
All right. See you then.
Watch maybe Do the Right Thing. Bye.
Bye.